Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I want to get to this bat bleep crazy story involving Sammy Watkins. It was written by Bleacher Report. We will get to it with the author who wrote it at 11 a.m. Eastern. Sammy Watkins, one of the best college wide receivers I've ever seen, goes to Buffalo, is a bit of a bust, goes to Kansas City, it works out fine, and now he is giving opinions that are really counterculture, really unusual. I asked Chris Cody to give me a one-sheet, a one-sheet condensing the most interesting things in the article. And Stugatz, what he sent me was longer than the article.
Yeah.
He sent me so many details, so many bullet points that were longer than the article because, you know, condensing isn't a strength with him. And also, there's that much in there that's rich and different. But we will get to that in a second. The first thing that we have to get to is Billy wants to celebrate how Stugatz owned all of ESPN yesterday during a dry desert of content time. Stupidity rose up. I also want to talk to Stugatz about how much trouble he got into at ESPN for getting Tom Brady, but not going through whatever their proper labyrinth of protocols is because, you know, someone in the NFL department is having their head pop off because they wanted to ask Tom Brady an important question.
I didn't get into any trouble as far as I know because no one reached out to me. Not a single person. Nobody reached out to me about Tom Brady yesterday.
Well,
except, you know, except for you, Mike Golic Jr., Mikey C., and a couple of other people. Other than that, not a peep.
All right, you named about a half dozen people while saying nobody reached out to you. But Stugatz was offended that no one complimented him on it, while also burying his producer in questions about why it is that we got Tom Brady before, you know, the rest of Mighty ESPN got Tom Brady. I will say this. Stugatz was keeping it even from me because he was afraid that if anyone at ESPN got it, that they would get in there and they would nuke the ability of Stupidity to do it first. That was something that you were calculated and hiding it from ESPN and from me.
I want to be very, very clear. I am not offended that no one reached out to me yesterday. I am perfectly fine that no one reached out to me yesterday. I was expecting maybe someone, one of our bosses, to say, hey, that a boy, good job, Friday night, you stayed home, you got Tom Brady. Of course, we're all staying home right now. But I was not the least bit offended that no one reached out to me. And I didn't sit on any news. I don't know the protocols, okay? All I do is generate content. And when my producer decides to release it, that's when he decides to release it. I don't know any of these rules, okay?
You do know the protocols. You know the rules. You say you don't know the rules in order to break the rules. And I didn't realize the hashtag one team you sent me was sincere yesterday. Regardless, Billy's got some thoughts on ESPN. ESPN, and basically Stugatz yesterday dominating ESPN. The worldwide leader in sports finally reached the biggest platform in sports. Stupidity bigger than Oprah. Billy, what were your thoughts as you saw this mushroom cloud on television? It had me smiling from ear to ear just seeing, and I understand that it's a desert right now, and probably SportsCenter will take just about anything. I'm surprised all our Greg Norman interviews didn't end up on SportsCenter. But I was really happy for Stugatz yesterday, because the whole goal of this entire pirate ship is to use my obnoxious, strident journalism credentials so that Stugatz at the end could be at the top of the worldwide leader in sports, scurry up my back and plant his flag of stupidity, which doesn't have a flag, it's just a pole, in the back of my head, because he has conquered all of the gas bags in sports journalism. Yesterday, Stugatz was on top. What were your thoughts, Billy?
Stugatz owned the day yesterday, and like you said, it was great seeing and hearing a clip from Stupidity run all over SportsCenter and everywhere. Now, it's kind of a testament to what's going on right now that they were able to get a clip out of the Stupidity thing and play it everywhere, because I don't know if you heard the whole Stupidity, but it was a very brief interview. Now, in terms of protocol, I think it was basically going to be Stupidity or Tom Brady's not going to be on ESPN anywhere. So they're happy with just Stugatz getting Tom Brady on Stupidity. Here's where I think that they did you wrong, Stugatz.
Okay.
If anyone else would have had a sit down with Tom Brady, and Chris too, actually, to a certain extent, they would have been on SportsCenter talking about their time with Tom Brady, what he was like before they started. I mean, anytime Mina Kimes interviews anyone, she's on every show on the network, and people are like, Mina, what did Myles Garrett say about this and that? And no one talked to Stugatz about what Tom Brady was doing. So in that, you know, even Chris Cody could have been on SportsCenter yesterday talking about his time with Tom Brady, and they didn't ask him.
Stugatz, I think that I am willing to take on this crusade, even if it means we are steamrolling Mina Kimes, where we are actively jealous of the amount of promotion and publicity that she is getting, while nobody at ESPN helps us with any of that stuff, like at all. No, there's nobody there who helps us with any of that stuff. We're your biggest digital property with no help from you guys.
I mean, I spent a segment yesterday saying how I've learned more talking about football with Mina Kimes than anyone at the network, one or in the Monday Night Football booth. Not a peep about my Brady interview from Mina Kimes yesterday. Not a peep. Nothing.
Do you have something else here? Do you have something else here, Billy? Or are you just waving your hand in front of your face because you're backing away from the microphone because you don't want any part of my feuding with ESPN over Mina Kimes getting more publicity than we do?
Yeah. Let's just clarify this for a moment. I just picked Mina's name out of a hat there. That was not intended to take a shot at Mina Kimes and use that as a springboard for you to be going after whoever over Mina Kimes.
It did sort of feel like a shot. You said anytime they interview that Mina Kimes interviews anybody, they put her all over the network.
Or any of them, you know? Basically anyone but Stugatz and Chris Cody.
Let's just say that Tom Brady landed on the wrong platform, landed in the wrong hands. Is that fair? And I'm okay with that. It landed in my hands. And if that comes to the disappointment of many at this network, I apologize. You take Tom Brady when you can get him, where you can get him. And I happened to be home Friday night when he was walking off some of the golf course, and I was more than happy to spend seven mediocre minutes with him. Right, that's it.
I love that that's how you describe it. It's so perfect that he won you over in seven mediocre minutes after you hated him for two decades as a Jets fan. Tony, I'm sorry I sideswiped you there by saying that Bristol has given us no help while you've been a part of our show for many, many months now. Chris, what can you tell us about the Sammy Watkins article? We're going to have the author, Tyler Dunn, on with us an hour. But now that you've done all of the research and every paragraph is more unusual than the one before it, what were your takeaways from the article?
Well, it was a roller coaster of emotion. It starts out and you think this is a comedy, because I'm reading this. I'm like, what kind of article is this going to be? You read the first couple paragraphs and you're like, okay, this is a comedy. You have Watkins saying that he possibly is playing football as a horse, as a dog, as a dinosaur. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun and wacky. And then it gets a little sad. And then he talks about how depressed he was, how when he was in Buffalo, he's drinking every night, literally every night, just very depressed. And then he finds himself, he spends 6 months just in his room, not talking to anybody, studying every religion he can find. And then he comes out on the other end and he's found some spirituality that has led him to a path where he's happy. All his teammates love his energy, and he has a great relationship with Andy Reid. He was very, like, I'm just going to keep going because the article's crazy. And then he talks about his contract situation with the Chiefs. He's very open about his demands. And it took me forever to read it because it's the longest article ever, but it's very interesting. And it seems to have ended in a place where he's found himself a little bit.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would you drink every night if you were in Buffalo? At Lebatard Show. Sammy Watkins believes in reincarnation and he's searching. And you know that I love the eccentric guys. I love the guys who are willing to be out there with their vulnerability. One of the things I want to get into with you guys in the next segment, Stugatz, is that Jerry Seinfeld has a new special out, and it's really testing the boundaries of what I have said about comedy not aging well. He's 65. It's surprising to see him be able to literally be on the floor physically and get off the floor quickly at 65 years old to do this comedy routine. And of course, it now has its haters and its detractors because, surprise, putting something creative in the world risks not everyone applauding. In fact, it's kind of the point. I don't know. There is no courage in criticizing the creative. There's only courage in creating the creative and then trusting that vulnerability over to others. But I want to talk about what I have seen of this Seinfeld special next after you update people on what's going on in sports.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Today on ESPN Daily, when NASCAR returns on Sunday, it's a big chance for the sport to regain some of the audience it lost in recent years. Ryan McGee breaks down how it will work and how NASCAR can seize the moment. That's ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast.
At Lebatard Show is where you reach us if you want to complain, if you want to mock us, if you want to insult us, if you want to take a look at my eyebrows and pick me apart from every discernible angle. At Lebatard Show is the way that you do it. Jim Jones takes this opportunity to say, Dan, I hate to tell you this, ESPN doesn't like you and can't wait until your contract is up. They want more Greeny and less Lebatard. Did Jim Jones really hate to tell me that? Because I feel like Jim Jones kind of liked telling me that. In fact, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does the person who starts a thought with, I hate to tell you this, actually like to tell you this? Because listen here, at Mr. Don't Play 23. we understand if you hate me. It's okay. It's part of the product. A lot of people have since we started and we're on our third contract. So, it's sort of the design of what it is that we're doing here, where I get to be the unpopular one and you guys get to grow everything around us in a way that makes it very lucrative for Stugatz. Again, like I said, at the end, he gets to plant his flag at the top of the mountain and gets to celebrate because he has defeated everybody despite a general lack of morals and a bankrupt spirit of intelligence.
Thank you, Dan. More Greeny, though. How about that? I mean, perhaps my alias is Jim Jones.
Put it on the poll as well, at Le Batard Show, Guillermo. Are stand-up comedians brave? Because I want to get into this conversation. It's not something I can do. I find it admirable. I'm awed by good stand-up comedy as much as I am amused by it, because people are willing to get out there, and after many months of sculpting whatever it is that they're doing, they're expected to be funny, and that is a really hard expectation to meet. But before we do that, weirdly, Mike Ryan wants to object, and strongly, I think, because he spent the entire break chirping at me about it, on the idea that Sammy Watkins is a bit of a bust.
Yes, quote Dan Le Batard, Sammy Watkins was a bit of a bust in Buffalo. And Dan, allow me to strongly provide a meager defense. Can you do that for Sammy Watkins' time in Buffalo? Just under 1,000 yards his rookie season, over 1,000 yards in just 13 games the following season. Then his final season in Buffalo, only plays half a season. As you know, his time in Buffalo was spent with bad quarterbacks and fighting through injury. We never really saw a fully healthy Sammy Watkins, I think, ever. Bad season considering all the injuries. And then they declined his option. That's a point four when you're arguing bit of a bust. However, traded to the Rams, fetches a player and a second round pick. He and a sixth round pick go to L.A. On aggregate, that's basically a first-round pick and a lateral move in terms of investment. I think you're wrong.
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Is it fair to call Sammy Watkins a bit of a bust?
Oh, I agree with you on the whole, though, because he could never stay healthy. And Sammy Watkins will do this. I think we have to look it up. I think he got like 50% of his receiving output in that first game against Jacksonville, where he had like 300 yards. And then everybody rushes to the waiver wire, and he lets everybody down. I know I speak for thousands in our audience that have played the dangerous Sammy Watkins game on a Sunday, needing him in fantasy. Sometimes incredible
sometimes
highs.
Zero catches, 0 yards.
But more than often, it's one target. Now, I'm sure he does a lot in terms of taking the top off of defense. We saw DeSean Jackson do that with bad quarterbacks all the time, and him still getting big contracts even at his age because it's invaluable. But damn if it isn't frustrating when you need him in fantasy.
Guillermo also put this on the poll. Are you stunned by how vigorously Mike Ryan felt the need to defend Sammy Watkins? It's not even the thing that Mike Ryan is most excited about, Stugatz. He's most excited about Arnold Schwarzenegger, because as we've talked about before, Hollywood just keeps remaking the old stuff. Arnold Schwarzenegger is making his return in his mid-70s, evidently and reportedly, to his Predator franchise. Gosh. If you can call it a franchise, given that Predator 2 was one of the worst movies ever made.
You're missing the best part, though, about Dutch coming back to Predator. You're thinking this is just another lame Hollywood reboot. It is, kind of. But it's a video game, Dan. Dutch in his prime. I'm getting Arnold signing off on his likeness and his voice to a Predator video game in which I don't have to be sad when I'm sitting in a cinema because, oh man, the Terminator has white hair now. How does a Terminator age? Oh, Christian Bale is fighting a very poorly designed CGI version of Arnold Schwarzenegger because it doesn't make sense. A Terminator can't really age. And then they try to make up for it in later movies because Arnold's age and he's decided to come back into cinema after, true story, becoming the governor of California. I am so excited for this video game, this modern Call of Duty Modern Warfare style shooting game in which instead of shooting other people, you're shooting predators, Dan, and you're shooting them with Dutch.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content. Nonstop. We're putting out 3 mystery crates a week now. We're doing the local hour noon creative ways.
I'm scared.
I also have a side project that I was recording this morning. It's a lot. And in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to
cocaine. Advance Auto Parts, people, the online store. Put it on the poll. Is 9 a.m. too early to be doing cocaine at Levitard Show? Advance Auto Parts, the listen to me, Bristol. He's not actually doing cocaine, okay?
Right now.
It's just speed and meth.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Last Dance concludes this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Good morning, Finney. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby, the after show presented by State Farm and AT&T. The guys will be joined by director Jason Ayer to talk about this week's show and behind-the-scenes stories of the making of the episode. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's your SportsCenter update. Participants on a Board of Governors call with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver left the virtual meeting feeling increasingly positive about the league's momentum towards a resumption of play this season. Meanwhile, an informal poll taken by the National Basketball Players Association showed overwhelming support for any plan that has this season resuming in a safe way. And finally, Spotify has launched the beta version of its newest feature for premium subscribers called Group Sessions, which allows a host to present a scannable code to as many guests with a premium account, giving all users control over the ability to play, pause, and skip, and select or add a specific song to the collective playlist. The All-In Challenge fundraising initiative continues to offer exciting sports experiences that you can bid on or enter to win. And it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need. Dana White and actress Halle Berry are teaming up to provide the ultimate UFC experience for the All-In Challenge. The winner will go to Las Vegas, UFC pay-per-view event of their choice, meet Dana White, have dinner with Halle Berry, and then watch the fight with her from Dana White's seats. And that's not all. The winner will also get a private training session with UFC legends. You can enter to win this sweepstakes, and 100% of the money raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. If you'd like to participate or learn about how these organizations can help, visit allinchallenge.com today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
The author of this Sammy Watkins article for Bleacher Report, Tyler Dunn, is going to join us in a half hour. If you've not seen the story, he will condense it for you. And it is as unusual an interview as you will find anywhere in sports. Usually guys with alternative beliefs don't express them while they're still playing. That is not a normal, usual thing in the antiseptic cliche of the locker room.
It was, you're going to be shocked that I read this, but it was very well written. I thought it had like the right tempo and the right urgency attached to a story like this. And I'm telling you, Dan, I have been inside for so long that I am willing to go down just about any path. I am not ruling out what Sammy Watkins is telling me in terms of dimensions and knowing things and we're constantly dying and coming back to life. I am not ruling anything out at this point, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Thank you for saying it. Do you have any idea what you said when you said that the article had the right urgency?
I felt like it, you know, whatever Sammy was saying, I feel like the author wrote it in a way.
Okay, yeah, just words. Yeah, just, they were just words to say. Okay, very good.
Yep.
Tyler Dunn is going to join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. Billy, what do you have for me on this subject? Did you just feel bad for Stugatz? Because, Billy, I got to be honest, your face is a helpful cue for me in terms of whenever you make a face, like if you've smelled something bad, it makes me extra listen because I want to remember what it is Stugatz said. I'm curious, was that reaction to Stugatz saying the article had the right urgency? I don't even know what that means.
I feel bad doing this, and Stugatz, you know I love you, which now gives me permission to rip you.
Sure.
I don't believe that he read it, and right. Part of my theory hinges on the fact that he did a reply all to the email where you asked for a one sheet asking for Chris to send him the same one sheet, which would mean that he didn't need to read it.
Right. Well, so that's a fair point. I've earned that, Billy. But I read it last night. Retention is not a strength. And so I knew I was going to need that one sheet as a refresher from Chris. Now, Chris just rewrote the article. So, I mean, it's not really, I don't want to read it again, but I did read it. So, I mean, and I'm telling you, right tempo, proper amount of urgency. That was a good job by the writer.
All right. All right. I had, okay, very good. So anyway, just words, 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 also words and words and words and words and Advanced Auto Parts and words. The thing that I wanted to get into here with you, Stugatz, because I felt bad for someone yesterday, and the baseball discussion happening right now, it's interesting to see the owners of baseball who don't actually get to play games, but their games are negotiating contracts. Their games are winning at business to sort of change around their original proposal in order to make the players look bad for possibly causing a work stoppage while there are breadlines and unemployment rates are historic and it feels like the Great Depression. Make the baseball players look greedy. This is how the owners play this game. You don't have to take a side on this one. You're allowed to say, well, the owners are losing their fans, so they should ask for pay cuts the way that Governor Cuomo is telling them to take pay cuts. And I understand if you said that. I would get if you would protect the business owner's right to protect the business, even as I don't understand and won't ever understand why so many of you end up calling the players selfish while you yourself are being selfish, wanting baseball back, and while you yourself are labor and you don't side with labor. But here is why I felt bad for your buddy, Mark Teixeira. Did you see what happened to him?
No, what happened?
All right, so Teixeira comes out and he says publicly, I think it was on Get Up, he says that he thinks the players should play for pennies on the dollar. And this, of course, is going to be met by the sports fan with a great deal of applause, but it might not be met by the player with a great deal of applause. For example, Brandon McCarthy, this is the problem when you do the thing that makes everyone pay attention. When Teixeira says the baseball players should play on pennies on the dollar, that they basically should inherit more risk and less money.
Right.
More health risk and less money. Brandon McCarthy reminds you by going through to share his history, he reminds you, Tex was quite possibly the most pro-union player I came across in my career. And then this is what Mike Schur, the creator of Parks and Rec and a huge baseball fan, says, and this is the part that made me feel bad for Teixeira. Teixeira was drafted in 1998, asked for too much money, turned it down. Then he was drafted fifth in 2001, would have been fourth, but everyone knew he was asking for so much money, the Phillies didn't even bother. Then he made $213 million. So Schur says this is all fine, of course, but also zip it, proving yet again that there is a little Stugatz in everyone. So when this happens, your thoughts are what? Because it's real easy for him to tell others pennies on the dollar when he's no longer playing and he's already made $213 million worth of pennies.
Right. Now, I know Mark. I'm friendly with Mark. Mark was also never faced with a pandemic like this, so I have no earthly idea how he would have responded or how he would have acted had he been faced with a pandemic like this. And in terms of the money that he asked for, listen, you don't know unless you ask. But I will say this, okay? I will say this. Any Major League Baseball player who does not want to play for less money, who does not want to risk health and harm to his own body, does not want to leave his family or loved ones behind to go play baseball for our amusement and our enjoyment, I am totally fine with that. Totally okay with that. Just accept the other side of it. You're not going to get paid. In terms of playing for pennies on the dollar, no. If you're going to play baseball, they should pay you properly for playing baseball in the middle of a pandemic, putting yourself at risk and leaving your loved ones behind to do so, if indeed that is the case.
I do find perpetually interesting the way this stuff ends up going, Stugatz, because you've got the Illinois governor saying he's disappointed with Major League Baseball players holding out for more money when, quote, everyone is sacrificing. And I just think that this ignores in a way that is really borderline intellectually dishonest that these people are partners on collectively bargaining their contracts. If the people in our audience had leverage, they'd use it. Like, if they had a choice, if they had the privilege of partnership with their bosses, they'd use it. But most of us don't have that privilege. We love to take it away from others, though. I'll tell you somebody else I feel bad for next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Stan Van Gundy going to join us at 11:30 Eastern. Brett Michaels from Poison going to join us at 12:30 Eastern. And Tyler Dunn, you're not going to want to miss this, I don't think. The author of the Sammy Watkins article that has everyone talking today. It is very rare for someone to give an interview in sports while they are playing where they give voice to a whole lot of unconventional beliefs and then allow everyone to judge them. But clearly, Sammy Watkins is on a bit of a search for meaning in life. And that is not what Guillermo is doing at the moment, because he just spent the entire break. And I always love when Guillermo discovers anything. He just discovered, Stugatz, just now, just last night, the Expendables movies. It's not something that he was familiar with at all. Now, Billy is the biggest advocate we have around here for Fast and the Furious. And you would say what on behalf of the Expendables now that it is that you've discovered the Expendables?
First of all, the Fast and Furious is art, so that's not even in the same discussion. Now, the Expendables I was familiar with, but I had not seen. And I decided when coming across that, mainly because I'm a bit of a thrifty guy, and these movies were available for free, and I'm all about hitting up the free movies right now. So I found that the Expendables were all for free, so I was like, I gotta check this out. I don't know how there were three of them. I've only seen the first one, but while watching the first one, I felt ripped off that, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen it, even though it's like 10 years old, Arnold was in it, and I thought he was like a big player in the movie. And I quickly find out he's in it for about 2 seconds. Then he's gone. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll run into him later in the movie. They can't be it, right? No, that was it. That was it. Just one cameo in the church where we have to call Bruce Willis Mr. Church because they met in a church, which, of course. Then Drago and Rocky are fighting together, right? Did I miss something? That's Drago and Rocky fighting together. Are they not?
Yes.
But they're also enemies, right?
Well, off that screen. They're enemies off that screen.
They have a contentious relationship in this one.
Yeah, and Drago obviously betrays Rocky, and then Rocky shoots Drago, which is not a Rocky thing to do, to have a gun and shoot Drago, right? And he shoots him within a couple inches of his heart, and Drago's dying, and then Rocky tries to turn it on him, because Drago betrayed Rocky, obviously, and Rocky tells him, hey, don't die a bleep bleep. Just tell me what the plan is to get me. And it's like, is he the bleep here? Because you just shot him and you're killing him. Like, he's dying. He's about to bleed out. And now you want Drago to be your friend after you murdered him. And what they did, I mean, we don't need to get into it any further. I feel like we've gone far enough.
Really? This is where you're exercising restraint. Interesting that this is where
you're trying to figure out if we did this movie in 2020, would we have Jet Li fighting him in a place where only Jet Li's tall enough to fight Drago? Like, that was a little bit sketchy. I thought they're on the line. And then when they got out of like the low clearance thing, because they were building up to that the entire like first half of the movie, like, you're so short, you're so short, you're so short, you're so short. And then they had him fighting like under a stairwell while Drago was too tall. And then Drago got him out of the stairwell and just started pounding him when he's like, now it's my turn, or whatever it is that Drago said to Jet Li. It was just a whole thing.
Okay, very good. Are you done now? Because you said you were done a few paragraphs ago that you didn't...
Here's the thing, Dan, is that the movie seemed to drag and drag, much like my recap of the movie. And I was trying to figure out, what is this exactly building up to? And then Terry Jeffords, you know, gets this big bomb and he throws it in the air. And then they shoot it and it explodes and that's the whole thing. Terry Crews, that is. Can you, like, that was the big payoff. I could not believe that they made three of these movies. Now, Mike and Stugatz told me that it gets better after the first one, because the first one, I don't think, deserved two sequels after, did it?
Okay, thank you for all your contributions, Billy. I regret all of them. The Expendables is not strong when it comes to subtlety. Jean-Claude Van Damme, when he's in it, his character was a villain, but you would never know it from his name, Villain. Villain was his name because he was a villain. You objecting to three Expendables when you love all 454 of the Fast and the Furious movies. What are you shaking your hand at me for? What is it that you want to say now, as if you haven't said enough to contaminate and corrupt this segment?
As we previously discussed, that's art. That's a different category. Another thing about the Expendables, they had like this plane that they fly and then they were landing like on this island, and that's how they were sneaking in and out. And it said like, something about like animal rescue on the side of it. You have these three guys that are like massive coming out of the plane, and they're like, no, we're just here to take pictures of animals. Like, okay, sure, come on in. No problem. Get out of here.
What happened to, I don't want to get into this anymore. It was such a better time in my life when you simply bailed on the entirety of the segment instead of doubling down on it. Yes, Stugatz.
It did $275 million at the box office.
Yeah. Stunning. Stunning that people are stupid. Tyler Dunn, author of the Sammy Watkins article, is next.